Hi, this is Professor Tom from Kinky Sex Radio. This is a tester episode. We're trying out some new equipment we just got in the studio. If this is your first time listening to Kinky Sex Radio, I'm going to suggest you listen a couple of episodes back at first to get a feel for the show before you jump into this craziness that we've recorded just for fun. Thanks for listening.
This show is a member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.
On PodRiot.com.
Welcome to Kinky Sex Radio.
Good evening from our brand new studios in Rogers Park, Chicago. This is Kinky Sex Radio. I'm Professor Tom. With me, as always,
Miss Gypsy.
What do you think about this stuff? Huh? We got fancy crap now.
And you have lots of buttons to play with. I'm a little scared.
Dude, I have so many buttons. I have the mixer from hell. I have switches and gears and gizmos. It's pretty cool. I like it. I dig it. Hopefully it's got a basso sound to our voice.
And I like these, the mic covers better than the pop filters.
Yeah, if you're not a podcaster, you may want to fast forward for about the next 3 minutes as we... New toys. You know, everyone understands new
toys.
A new computer, a new studio. It's kind of fun. I want to mention the theme song you hear at the beginning is Ninth Level at ninthlevel.org. I forgot to mention in the last few episodes, a really good thrash death metal band from right outside San Francisco, Ninth Level. They're also on our MySpace page, myspace.com/kinkysexradio. This week we're doing a little, like I'll borrow Toto Talk Nonsense this word, we're doing an ad hoc episode. We're going to test the equipment. I'm in town for a few days. We thought we'd put something together for you. So, this is what we came up with. Hope you enjoy it.
This is Preston Buttons.
And I'm the Word Whore.
And we're from Arrow My Shorts.
And you are listening to Kinky Sex Radio.
We are giving away DVDs.
DVD games.
Right now, DVDs. DVD games from GreatSexGames.com, who also produce the Sex is Fun podcast with Kidder Caper, Lorax, and their engineer, Coochie.
Coochie.
Yeah, she's funny. She's cute. I've listened to a few of the podcasts. They're quite interesting. They're video casts. Have you seen they did one about masturbate a woman? It's a close-up of Lorax's vagina as she masturbates. And, there's two versions. One is Kidder Caper doing a Steve the Alligator guy, the crocodile. Crikey, look at that vagina. Well, yeah, horrible Australian accent that he's doing. She's really rubbing it there. It's pretty funny. The other one is they're talking as they're watching the video, going, okay, what are you doing here? Why are you doing that? What are you doing over there? You want to pick up a couple of pointers, you may want to check out the Sex is Fun podcast, which is greatsexgames.com/podcast. Enough about that. Here's what we're giving away. We've got a DVD video game, I guess you'd call it, DVD game.
Uh-huh.
And we're giving away four of them. You want to start, and then I'll do the last two?
Sure. Our first couple winners are TurtleFur17 and Bound316.
Yeah, we weren't sure how to identify you because you sent your email in, so we're just going to read the first half. Awesome Hippie and Gothic Photo are the other two winners. I'll send you an email. Matter of fact, you'll get the email before you hear this podcast, because I'll send the email out tonight and get your address, and I'll get this in the mail for you probably about the time you hear this show. The games will be on the way. Hope you enjoy them. I expect a full report in the forums at kinkysexradio.com.
This is Kidder Caper from the Sex is Fun podcast radio show, and we just can't get enough of this Kinky Sex Radio. If you're looking for a great way to get your kink on, keep listening to Kinky Sex Radio. Check out all podcasts, Sex is Fun, at greatsexgames.com. Sex is Fun, play with it.
Okay, I was going to tell you a story about my balls. It involves my cock and balls, specifically. My cack. Let me back up a little before we get to my cock and balls. I like practical jokes. Yes, it's a practical joke involving the cack and balls. For example, before I've cut my hair and not told the girl I was dating, so I had really long hair and then I just cut it. This time I warned Christine before I did it. My best one is I moved everything out of the apartment across the hall. I set it up with the landlord, just the living room, but when she walked in, the part of the kitchen she could see from the front door and the living room are just tumbleweeds, gone, empty. The bedroom is still fine, but she doesn't know it was across the hall. I've done just all kinds of crap. Here's what I did. While I was in Cleveland, you know, you get bored. And I found this fake tan stuff.
I don't even know if I want to know where this is going.
And I keep the area trimmed. Not shaved, but trimmed. Parts of it are shaved. Parts of it are trimmed. I want a nice-looking package because I care. And so, you're bored. You're a guy. You're like, hey, what can I do? So I decided to put the tan just on the cock and balls.
Oh, God.
Because it's like $7, right? Well, the more you use it, the darker it gets. So in theory, I could have a black cock and balls. Or at least a really dark Mediterranean brown, which, given that I'm extremely pale by nature, would just look awesome. Or like it was rotting off. I'm not sure which. I never quite got there. So I started doing it. Now, here's the problem. I was using, I think, Neutrogena Gradual Tan. Okay, I'm not giving them a plug. It didn't work. It doesn't dye the cock and balls. Now, what the hell's different between that skin? Because I tested it on the side of my my stomach. Like right about, I guess, where the kidneys are, but on the front side, where your appendix is. And I put like a palm size bit, turned brown within 8 hours, just like it said. So I said, oh, awesome, cool. I didn't break out because you want to test first before you put it on the junk, right? I got in the shower, like they said, right after the shower. I pat dry. I put it on. I come back from work that day. I de-pants. Nothing. I tried it again the next day. Nothing.
Maybe just all the sweat and... You know,
but I was indoors. I wasn't working. I was juggling for kids for a couple hours. So no, not really sweat. Not any more than would be right around the waistband. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell it is in their formula that knows it's on genitalia, but it's creepy. We like to answer emails on this show.
It's a lot like the kinky love line.
Yeah, it's a love line with whips and chains. We say. However, this one came from our forums, which if you haven't been, it's kinkysexradio.com, and then there's a link that says forums, or just /forums. This comes from a new forum member, though she's been quite active. Her name is Sister T. It's a good name, Sister T. She suggests a show on wax play would be nice. It's one of my favorite forms of play because it's something I have successfully eased newbies into the BDSM lifestyle with. It can be very sensual or downright evil, depending on how you apply wax, and it's inexpensive. It also lets you be creative, if you're an artistic type, by playing with different colored wax. I have to say, those are good points. So let's kind of go line by line. I like the idea of easing newbies into BDSM with wax.
And that's something that you see a lot in movies or, you know, music videos or things of that. It's a very basic thing that's very accepted. Hey, oh, we're burning candles, we're being romantic. Oh, hey, let's get a little crazy, let's bring the candles into the sex play.
It's almost a stereotype. Handcuff me, spank me, pour hot wax on me, ha 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 ha. You know, that's like the joke you'd make. Like, oh, pour hot wax on my nipples, he 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 he. So I think, it's a friendlier, playful, like adding food. Or syrup, or, you know, and kind of making that a pervertible. I think that's a great idea. Now, let's talk about sensual versus downright evil. What do you like for sensual, and what do you like for downright? Because you're a masochist.
I am a little bit of a masochist, and I prefer the downright evil to the sensual.
You do downright evil, I'll do sensual. Tell us what's downright evil.
I've actually had someone that had one of the longer candles, they've put it in my ass and put me in some predicament bondage, and basically if I move too much, the wax would drip off onto a certain spot a little bit more, and you know, so I was...
So you have a candle in your ass and you're bound, and if you move, it overflows essentially and hits what your ass or your vagina or something,
right.
Your back, your head.
It was dripping the entire time, but you know, if I was moving a little bit more, you know, more wax would fall off, and, you know, he was, you know, fiddling with me while I was tied up, and so that was really fun, and, you know, as it burned closer and closer and closer, you know, you felt the heat more, there was the fear that, you know, and this could have been dangerous, the fire could have, you know, so he made sure that, you know that I was supposed to stay still, because if I move too much, there's potential for me to catch the house on fire. So I, you know, did as much as I could to stay still while he was torturing.
How close did the fire get? I mean, how much candle was left when this was over?
There was probably about 2 inches left when it was over. So it was that was kind of the purpose, was
right,
to just let it burn down and let it, and you know, this could have, you know, potentially been very dangerous, but we both have enough experience that we know how to clean up. And
right. Yeah, that's definitely not step one.
Right.
Predicament, bondage, candle up the ass, don't move. That's more a level 2, level 5, level 28 sort of thing. The sensual part, and this is something you can really experiment. The nice thing about hot wax is that there is a max temperature. So it may be too hot for you, but it's rarely going to burn to the point of blister. It can happen, but those are usually chemically treated candles, like citronella candles and
there's
such.
A lot of candles in, you know, any fetish website or, you know, bondage website. You can order wax play candles that are low temperature burning.
Right. I would go with the closest to pure paraffin you can find at first, because you never know what they're putting in it that makes it smell like cherries or apples or whatever. And if you want some of those burning, that's fine. If you want colored candles around, that's fine. But I would go find some plain white fire candles or tea candles. Now, those are small, so you're not going to get much play out of them, but they're generally just paraffin. And that will give you a consistent temperature as you move from bigger to bigger to bigger. And then, yeah, sure, go to Walmart and buy a couple of apple-scented ones and try them on the inner wrist. And then once you get a brand you can stay with, you'll be consistent, in other words. You'll know that you like that on your nipple, but it's too hot for the clit. And that brings me to the sensual part. I'd say start with the chest, not the nipples, guys. Not initially. Warm her up a little, for God's sake. Buy her some flowers. Take her to dinner. Start just below the collarbone, the top of the pectoral muscles. Go between the breasts. Remember, you want to get her into a mood, and BDSM is a lot about power exchange or what's going on in her head. And the idea that you are threatening her nipples before you burn is much more exciting than going straight for the goods. We have a problem with that, guys. We can't help it. Yeah. It's how we're programmed. We go right for the goods.
And one of the more sensual areas that I actually like is the stomach. It's a very, very sensitive area, but it's, you know, not so sensitive that it's going to be horrible for someone that's just starting out with wax play.
Yeah, the only place I really like wax is the stomach and chest. I don't like it on my nipples. For what? It's not a pain. They just, I don't know, it's weird. It's odd.
It's more annoying than anything for me, personally.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of hot wax on the genitalia either, though I've applied hot wax to genitalia because one lover I had was a huge fan of hot wax anywhere near the vagina. The clit, they'd cover it, paint the thing, you know. And that's where the creative side comes in. If you are artsy-fartsy, once you've played a few times and you've got a little candle knowledge about what's available at your local, probably Walmart, I guess is where you're shopping, now you can start adding in colors because you've got a little bit of a clue with your partner. Now you can bring in the red, the blue, the yellow, the green, the purple, the black. You can go to a black mass with candles. You can really start to play. Wax play is something that's also good for introducing your partner to the fact that you're kinky without sitting them down and playing them the podcast or wearing a shirt that says, whip me, beat me, make me bleed. You can sort of step them into the lifestyle so that you don't scare them away from the lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sarah Deutsch of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. If you speak your mind in your blog or podcast, you need EFF. Protect your free speech rights at EFF.org.
We have another one from Sister T in our forums. She suggested a segment on co-topping I think would be beneficial. I know it's not something I see a lot of in clubs. Excuse me. Yeah, and private parties. My husband and I do it often, and it allows for the most interesting scenes as well as much longer ones because we can tag in and out for lack of a better choice of words. Now, I was surprised that co-tagging was not seen in a lot of clubs and private parties. That's more your scene. You say no, huh?
I don't see it a lot, and I think a lot of it might have to do with the fact of ego. Dominants don't want to give up the control of the scene to another dominant, and so the ego gets involved there. I think if, you know, someone's open-minded enough to let go of that ego a bit, then it can be a lot of fun.
So you think the lack of co-topping is top-driven and not bottom-driven?
I think it could be bottom-driven because I've been in a situation where it's difficult to... You kind of get into a zone of one person's specific style, and if you have another person's style kind of coming into play, then it's more difficult to kind of, but that could be an element of, you know, the fun of it is right. Not being able to kind of completely zone out, so you're always on your toes, you don't really know what to expect.
What if they started at the same time, so that the style was tandem?
Well, I think there's only so much that it can be the same, because everybody's going to have a different way that they're going to flog, a different way that they're going to, you know, humiliate somebody. Everybody does it different. So I think there's only so many similarities that, you know, two tops can have.
Right. See, I'm with Sister T on the idea of she and her husband do it. Me and my wife have done it. And we mostly play with people who are newer. Too. I mean, I don't hang out in the scene a whole lot. I don't go to clubs, parties, munches, sloshes, what have you. So most of the people I meet from polyamory. I meet because they're interested in a tryst of some sort. And I've been rather lucky, because once I start hinting that I'm kinky, they start hinting them too. You know, they go, oh, yeah, me too. What do you want to do? So it's a nice common ground. Then we can kind of pull back and go, okay, fine, here's our cards on the table. Here's what I want to do, blah, blah, blah. And I found that the co-topping works really well. My wife and I. Now, the only question I would have with someone who's new is your level of bisexuality. Because if it's just pure play, devoid of sex, then I wouldn't see co-topping male and female being such a big deal, because who's hitting you with the single tail, as you said, is more a matter of the flick of the wrist than penis or vagina attached on the back end. It's more your zone and subspace and how you're being dominated. However, if you are doing BDSM with sex, which I think most of our listeners are, I think most of our listeners are in a sexual relationship. That's what I get from questions anyway, that they are in a partner relationship that is, or in their opinion, should be kinky. So if you're going to do that, you've got to assess how bisexual the person you're topping is, because they may want to draw a line between, okay, you can both top me, but only, I'm a lesbian, so only your wife can have sex with me. Or I'm a gay guy, so only your husband can have sex with me. Or, you know, what have you. Those segments would be much more important. But if it's pure play, I think you can find a lot of common ground for co-topping outside of a party scene.
Well, I've actually been to a small play party, and I've had two male dominants that have both been playing with me at the same time, and it wasn't very structured. It wasn't, you know, this is how this scene is going to go. It was just, you know, I had played with both of them on separate occasions at other points, and so they, one just kind of, you know, joined in.
Give me some ideas of what they did. Do you remember?
It was just, there was actually just a lot of humiliation play that,
okay,
that they both did, and they both are very similar when it comes to that sort of play.
Do you think the common ground was one of the reasons it worked?
Right.
Was there, you know, some, their crossover points were nice?
Right, and they could, you know, they both kind of have the same dynamic with humiliation play, and so they could feed off each other and kind of, you know, one person would do this and then the next person would step up a notch and, you know, further the humiliation.
So the tops were topping the top?
I don't know if it was so much that they were competing, but it was like, oh, hey, that's a good idea. I'll go this much further. So,
well, I guess it is a good way to get notes, too, because I'm certain there are ways that one had thought of humiliating you, the other one hadn't, and or in that particular vein or what have you. So, yeah, it's a good way to build your own skills.
And I've actually seen that more often is, you know, it's not necessarily co-topping, but it's one top teaching another, and the submissive has, you know, come in, or the bottom has come in and said, you know, I'll volunteer for this. You are going to teach this guy single tail. I'll be the test dummy for it.
Yeah, I've been actually thinking about doing fly on a wall and taking my wife to a dominatrix and watching, just because the female style of domination, first of all, is different. Second of all, professional domination is different than what I'm, you know, we're in a sexual relationship with kinky. She would be in a kinky relationship, and that's it. And then sort of play fly on the wall and, I guess steal ideas. You know what I mean? Get notes, get feedback. And then also, it's not a rut, but it's like a pattern almost to our kink.
And just every kind of break that, I thought. That.
Yeah, you get in your routines, your rhythms, and they're great. You know, you get your big, nice orgasm, but sometimes it's nice to vary it too and not go with the tried and true. And I thought this would put her through a different set of paces, and then she could come back to me and say, okay, here's what I really hated that she did, here's what I really liked, and then here's what both of you do. And kind of get feedback that way. So almost co-topping, but doing it half and half. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Sort of. I guess you could do it lending her out if you didn't mm-hmm. want to go to a professional, if you were more into that sort of scene. Or at a club, again, it's a lot. There's no sex. I mean, typically, professional clubs, I should say. So when she goes on the rack or what have you, it's more the single tail technique, the flogger technique, the words that are being used, the scene that's being created. Does that make sense? So it's
yes.
A way to co-top and get the same requirements, because you're there as the dominant and you're giving her to someone else?
And the part of coat topping that appeals to me is being that much more intense. It's, you know, it's coming from all directions. You don't know what's going to happen next, especially if you're using sensory deprivation, because you don't know who is, unless they're, you know, right up on top of you, you can hear their voice, etc. But if you're blindfolded, earplugs, you know, hood, I think that could be really fun because you're just getting so many different sensations all at once.
So it's almost a brainstorming segment. It's almost a brainstorming session for kinky people.
Mm-hmm.
I told a story about my balls. Here's a story about my wife's clit. It's an ad hoc episode, and suddenly I'm like, let's tell stories about our junk. This is actually a cool thing. I was in the bondage.com forums, and someone posted that they had like cupping on the genitalia. If you don't know, cupping is just a way of applying suction to the genitalia or to anywhere on the body, drawing blood to the area. If you do that on the female clit, it will engorge. It will enlarge 2, 3, 4, 5, in theory, 10 times its size, though I've never seen 10 times its size. I've seen 5. This also makes the area more sensitive to pain or pleasure or both. However, cupping can be something that is a learning process, I guess you'd say. If you're a newbie, you can do it, but just be cautious. The sharp edges, you can overcup and create a bruise, which is unpleasant, or a clot, which is dangerous. This was sort of poor man's cupping. It just use your mouth. Just put your mouth on her clit and apply suction and wait for 5 minutes. What I did was I got her into a 69 position with her on top. So while she's blowing me, I'm locked in one spot. Now, she had heard me talk about this before when I discovered it. So after about 40 seconds, it gets uncomfortable, but not unpleasantly uncomfortable. So if you're not a masochist, you may not dig it, but she was liking it. It just was a little uncomfortable. She starts to figure out, oh, I remember talking about this. I know what he's doing. I got a little bit of the top of the labia, of one of the inner labia, a little piece of the other one, and the clit. And that was what was in my mouth, so that's what ended up being engorged. The result, her labia got 5, maybe 7 times larger. It really expanded. The clit, 3, maybe 4 times larger. She reported, now her inner labia, for whatever reason, are not that sensitive. Rather unusual, I think. Her clit, however, is. That's the only purpose it serves in the human body, is to be sensitive. She said that as far as pleasure went, it was interesting, but not more pleasurable. There was attention to the area because it was sensitive, but more the idea that we were focusing on the area. So probably no real physical change, more psychological. However, I gave her a couple of slaps to test out. Nothing too hard, nothing too big in a scene, but a couple of good whacks. And she said the pain was intensified severely. So there's something you can try. It's a little safer. I will warn you guys, I play wind instruments, trombone and such. And my jaw was a little sore. So be prepared to have to develop a bit of an embouchure, a bit of the musculature, before you can really commit to 10 or 20 minutes locked in the same position. But give it a shot. She certainly had a good time. Another topic from our forums. This one from Serenity Sweet. Voice and position training. I figure when I'm using voice training, I'd be able to read it. I've had voice training. I have a real interest in voice and position training as a slave. I've only found one resource, bestslavetraining.com, and I'm interested in finding more information to learn from. And you had a book you could recommend?
Yeah, the first book that popped into my mind was Miss Abernathy's Concise Slave Training Manual. And it's not just focusing on voice and position training, but it's kind of an overall how-to. And it's written mainly from the dominance perspective, but it does have a lot of tips for the bottom or the submissive or the slave.
So it's teaching the master how to train the slave.
Right.
All right, and that's Miss Abernathy's Concise Slave Training Manual.
Yes, it's a long title.
And when we Googled that long-ass title, Amazon popped right up. No big deal. I had a look at bestslavetraining.com, and it seems to be, it's essentially like an online resource, like a book. It's one person's opinion on training a slave, voice, position, commands, etc. One thing that we're talking about is that unless you're a practitioner of gore, which does have at least two different standards, because you have the sci-fi novels, and then you have online, which is a little different. They've sort of deviated. But they do have a name for this position, a name for that position, or at least a few names. You know, you could learn them all, conceivably, if you're Gorian. Beyond that, I don't have a name. I mean, I've never trained a slave. Beg, heel, lay, roll over, sit, assume position one, position two, etc. Have you ever been in a situation? I mean,
way back in the day when I first got into the lifestyle and kink, and honestly, when I was pretty naive and just starting out, you know, it was with a family that tried to bring Gorian positions into the lifestyle, and you know, I later found out that that was definitely not for me, and I liked a more realistic approach and not something based on a sci-fi novel.
Right.
It just see,
I think for me, the slave exchange, the power exchange, is so built into the slavery that I'd much rather command you to get on your knees, but then shove your head down, put your hands behind your back, and say, "Don't move." You know, it's a little bit of physical force. There's something to be said for having such control over you that I can command you to stand in the corner. And I get that, but I'd much rather shove your ass in the corner and command you to stay there. Does that make sense? That's what I get off on, is a little bit of roughhousing, or at least a little bit of, you come here, stand there, and then shut up, sit down, roll over, beg, heel, fetch, whatever. The idea of assigning positions names.
Are you getting into puppy play now?
Almost, yeah. It's sort of puppy or pony play.
And see, the main thing that pops into my mind about this question is, it's one thing to learn voice and position training, you know, off of an online resource, but the problem with the online resources is everything is going to be so different that if you try to applicate it to every single relationship, it's just not going to be effective, because every dominant, every master, every top is going to have different ways of wanting you to do things. And so I think something more productive is, instead of trying to preempt a relationship with learning, you know, slave positions and voice commands, is wait until you're in that relationship with, you know, your master and learn their needs, because that's essentially what you're wanting to do, is anticipate your master's needs, anticipate, you know, how they're going to want to have you positioned. And I can understand, you know, wanting to be prepared, but it's going to be more effective if you know exactly what they want. If you say, you know, I want to learn slave and positions and voice training, you know, how would you like to work this out with me? I think it would just work better on an individual basis rather than an all around, because you're always going to find someone that's going to do things a little bit differently.
Well, I think that's also the important thing, is to find out if you're going to be training for positions as a slave, what should be important to you in this play is what's important to your master. How many positions do you need a slave to know? If you're like me, one, maybe two, because I'd much rather put you in a position. Find out if that's their goal. If you want some real-world advice, Serenity, you have a real interest, you say, in voice and position slaving training, go buy two copies of this book. You read one, have your master read one, and then go phase by phase. That will give you a structured learning environment, which might be sort of, you know what I mean? That'd give her like a pass-fail. You know, I did well at this, I get a reward. I did bad at this, I get punished. That might be part of her desire for position training, might be that she wants to feel a little more formal, which also I can understand makes you feel a little more valued, I guess, if there's dedicated time and dedicated classes and a master's putting together a curriculum, a syllabus, then you're certainly more valued than someone who's just making it up off the top of their head.
Right.
At least you feel that way, right?
And some of my appeal, you know, of being a submissive, I don't consider myself a slave, I consider myself a submissive. Some of my appeal is I do like protocol, I do like the structure, so I can definitely empathize with her wanting to, you know, perfect this sort of positioning and voice commands. But it's like Professor Thomas said, I think to do it on a one-on-one basis with your master, or, you know, if you're single, a future master would be more effective for you.
Yeah, it does no good to learn 200 positions if you only use three.
So it was nice to be back with you this week. I kind of missed doing the show with you.
Yeah, man, it's nuts. I had to build a desk, and I got to put a Macintosh computer together and
mini
microphones.
Mac.
I got a little Mac Mini. It's very cute. And I have virtually no clue how to use the damn thing. It's awesome. I'm such a PC junkie and Linux junkie that I never really learned Mac. Yeah, this is fun. Our little improvised half show, test the microphones, put something out kind of podcast. If you've just gotten this podcast from someone on a CD or, I don't know, they... you stole someone's iPod off a park bench, you can find other episodes at Kinky... I'm encouraging theft at KinkySexRadio.com. I'm not involved in your morality, baby. You steal whatever you need to steal. And you can look for Season 2 starting, I think, June 13th is when I'm done and back in Chicago. And we'll have all the technical issues ironed out. And we're going to start having guests because we'll have multiple microphones now. We can have John and Scott from Total Talk Nonsense. We're hoping to coerce Cunning Minx from Polyamory Weekly to come in the studio. We're also extending an invitation to other Chicago, especially there's a few Chicago sex podcasters who are doing adult shows as well that I'm going to get in touch with, because I love the idea of having roundtable discussions.
I think it'd be a lot of fun for us.
I think it'd be fun, you know, bring in a bunch of different brains and fight it out the same way we do every week, but with more people.
Right.
You know, different opinions, different ideas, different styles. Until next week, I'm Professor Tom.
And I'm Miss Gypsy. Stay kinky.